Consistency in the Christian life. We have every evidence that Jesus is waiting to bless us. It is not His will that we should go forth to labor in His cause, and yet have no special help, no power from on high, to attend our labors. God has never bidden us hold up the standard of His law in these days of general apostasy, without the aid of divine power. We may have help from heaven, and we should not feel free to go to battle without the evidence that God's presence will attend us. We need to have a deeper experience. We must pray more, believing that we have a living Savior. Ministers, you who have had years of experience, never let the hand of faith tremble in grasping the promises of God. Your unbelief is a stumbling block to the young and inexperienced, and gives the powers of darkness occasion to triumph. You want to do a great work, but many do not work in the right spirit. You carry heavy burdens, and groan under the load, when Jesus invites you to lay your burdens at the foot of the cross, and find rest to your souls. When we see you working so hard, and almost ready to faint, when we see you grieve and mourn at almost every step, we know that you have lessons to learn in the school of Christ before you can successfully teach others. Without Jesus by your side, you will find the way and the work hard. You have much to learn, dear brethren, before you will accept the rest that He invites you to find in Him. If you look to yourselves, and deplore your weakness and sinfulness, and continue to do this, you will make no advancement, but will remain spiritual dwarfs. You should be intelligent, growing Christians, for how else can you labor with the zeal, energy, and devotion necessary to ensure success? Do not cultivate a pride for consistency in petty matters. Such a course lends no strength to the cause of truth. We are none of us required to make ourselves singular, or to be martyrs in a small way all through life, by contending for little things when there is really nothing to contend about. Those who take this course pity themselves, thinking they have so much trouble on account of being conscientious, upright, and straightforward in everything. But instead of being influenced by conscientiousness, they are indulging a wicked, selfish pride of notions. That life that is thought so straightforward is full of crookedness, and no one can live at peace with them, except by humoring their whims, and ever studying to avoid a collision. If these persons could only know how much trouble and grief they bring upon themselves by imagining that they are having a hard time and are great sufferers, they would change the current of their thoughts. We need not keep our own record of trials and difficulties, griefs and sorrows. All these things are written in the books, and heaven will take care of them. While we are carefully counting up these disagreeable things, many things that are pleasant to reflect upon are passing from the memory, such as the merciful kindness of God surrounding us every moment, and the love over which angels marvel, that God gave His Son to die for us. The path of uprightness is the path of peace. Those who have the meekness and lowliness of Christ can walk this humble path calmly, restfully, trustfully. No matter what may be our temperament, we may walk this path if we will. It is plain, and there is no need of constant anxiety and fear, fretting and worry, lest we shall lose the way. This path is the highway of holiness, cast up for the ransomed of the Lord to walk in. It is the glorious path of the just, which shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Those who walk in this way will wear a cheerful, happy countenance, for it is lighted up by bright beams from the Sun of Righteousness. Do not be unreliable in your Christian course. Sin must not be cherished. This is a time when the love of many is waxing cold, and any defection on your part may encourage others in a wrong course, and lead to many and grievous transgressions. Do not set an example of lukewarmness, do not turn away from testimonies of the Spirit of God. We are entrusted with a solemn message to give to the world, and there is much at stake. We cannot be safe amid the temptations that surround us in these times of peril, without constantly watching unto prayer. We must guard against accepting a low standard of our own instead of the high Bible standard of character. Satan works through faults of character to gain control of the whole mind, and he knows that if these faults are cherished, he will succeed. Often, he gains the advantage, and betrays into sin those who should represent Christ to the world, and our Savior is more deeply afflicted by this ingratitude and disobedience than is a tender, loving mother by the misconduct of a wayward child. You may forget childish things, and grow in grace day by day. As you make advancement, set your face like a flint against all falsehood, all pretense. You will sometimes be flattered by men, but more frequently by women. Especially when you present the truth in new fields, you will meet persons who will engage in this wicked flattery. As a servant of Christ, despise this flattery, shun it as you would a venomous serpent. Rebuke the woman who will praise your smartness, holding your hand as long as she can retain it in her own. Have little to say to persons of this class, for they are the agents of Satan, and carry out his plans by laying bewitching snares to beguile you from the path of holiness. Every sensible Christian lady will act a modest part, she will understand the devices of Satan, and will not be his co-laborer. Shun the society of those who by their arts would weaken in the least your purpose to do right, or bring a stain upon the purity of your conscience. Do not give them your time or your confidence, for they will leave you feeling bereft of your spiritual strength. Do nothing among strangers, on the cars, in the home, in the street, that would have the least appearance of evil. Remember that your works must stand the test of the judgment. Let the eye be single to the glory of God, the heart pure, the thoughts brought into obedience to the will of God. Do something every day to improve, beautify, and ennoble the life that Christ has purchased with his own blood. It was the joy of Christ to save souls. Let this be your work and your joy. Perform all duties and make all sacrifices for Christ's sake, and he will be your constant helper. Go straight forward when the voice of duty calls, let no seeming difficulties obstruct your path. Take up your God-given responsibilities, and as you bear your sometimes heavy burdens, do not ask, "Why idle stands my brother, no yoke upon him laid?" Do the duty nearest you thoroughly and well, not coveting praise, but working for the Master because you belong to him.